You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Aileen Quinn from Annie, the 1982 film, and you're listening to Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 470.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, how are you, Kevin?
I'm fine. You know, here we are. You know the plan for today.
Here we are, and we are here. Oh, do I know the plan? I have planned a little plan about our plan, actually.
Weird.
That's how well I know this plan.
We will be getting back to our ongoing project, The Backs of Life. But first, let's just get right into this, Cornflake. What are we doing for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day, I just could not resist, Kevin, finding something that ties in with our Facts of Life theme. So I have not one, but two Facts of Life birthdays to discuss. And they're not milestone birthdays, Kevin, but it happens that two of the actors on the show share a birthday, and that's May 12th. And surprisingly, I would have thought that there would be a dramatic age difference between these two, but really there isn't much of one.
No, it turns out Mrs. Garrett and Blair are the same age. Who knew?
Mrs. G wishes, but we're talking about Kim Fields. Tootie is turning 52 on May 12th, and Mackenzie Austin's birthday. Also May 12th, and he's going to be turning 48.
So Mackenzie Astin, people might not remember as well as the main Facts of Life girls, but yeah, that was that.
Oh, I do.
That goofy kid that was suddenly hanging around the shop with the girls in the later seasons of the Facts of Life.
I had a crush on him big time.
Yeah, and he's that kid's from, you know, Hollywood royalty. That Sean Astin is his brother, and John Astin, you know, from the Addams Family.
Patty Duke's his mom.
Yeah. Those kids come out of a showbiz family. Do you think Mackenzie and Kim get together every year and celebrate together?
I've heard a rumor that they take turns blowing out the candles each year. So Mackenzie and Kim only get their birthday wish every other year.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The two of them have been pretty busy in recent years. I know we spotted Kim Fields on Cobra Kai.
Kim was on Cobra Kai, yes, and she made her Christmas movie.
That's right.
You Light Up My Christmas with the other Facts of Life girls making cameos in it.
That was really great.
Remember how excited I was about that.
And then there's Mackenzie Astin, who has been on the TV show The Magicians in recent years.
Yeah, that's the mayor of Chickentown is a huge fan of The Magicians. And I was shocked to hear that Mackenzie Astin was involved. Because I just still think of him as, you know, goofy Facts of Life kid.
Goofy, but really, really cute. He was definitely cornflake bait when he was back on the Facts of Life when I watched it when I was a kid. What, he started appearing on the show, what, 1985?
Something like that.
And then hung on through the end there. But yeah, maybe not the best part of Facts of Life, but I liked having him around.
Yeah, I mean, he was the most successful, I suppose, of the several attempts they made to add younger kids to the cast, which they did with Pam Adlon, and then they did with the Australian girl, Pippa. But Mackenzie was the one that stuck as young Andy.
Yes.
Well, I prefer Tootie. If I have to pick amongst these birthday people, you know I'm going Tootie.
Tootie all the way.
Come on.
Yeah.
Did you ever see her show Living Single in the 90s?
No. What did you think of it?
I never saw it either. I was hoping you had. No. She got another like hit sitcom in the early 90s called Living Single, and I never saw it. But I know our buddy Ken Reed over at TV Guidance Counselor, he speaks very highly of Living Single. And he says that the sitcom Friends kind of ripped it off. That what they did with Friends, they were kind of doing that already on Living Single with Tootie.
That does not surprise me. Well, what was the last thing I watched in the 90s before I stopped watching TV for a great number of years?
There was a specific final thing that you watched in the 90s?
I think it might have been The Real World on MTV, the first season of The Real World.
I can see how that would drive someone away from television forever. But happy birthday, Kim and Mackenzie.
Both on May 12th. Splitting a cake.
What a magic day for Facts of Life fans that must be. And look what happened. It fell right here in the week that we're doing the Backs of Life again.
It was just too perfect. I'm excited about this episode we're discussing today, Kevin.
Well, yeah, you know what? Let's just get into this. So the Backs of Life is our ongoing little stupid project for the year in which we are looking at every backdoor pilot episode of the Facts of Life, because there are a bunch. Over the years, they kept trying to launch new spin-off series out of the Facts of Life. It never worked, but they just kept trying as the years went on. So this is the Backs of Life episode 3, and the backdoor pilot that we're looking at today is from season 3, episode 22. It's called The Academy.
And if there's a military academy and it's the 80s and there's comedy, I'm on board.
That's right. Yeah, you have a history with 80s military academy comedies, don't you?
Yes. And when I put together what was going on this episode, I was all in.
We're going to get into this. But before we do, just to set the mood, just to ground us in the time and the place that this is happening, this show aired on March 31st, 1982. So I pulled up some stats from that week. Here's a weird one, but the number one movie the week that the show aired in 82, and it was in the middle of an 8-week run as the number one movie. This is so stupid, Cornflake. It's Porky's.
Porky's was the number one movie.
Oh, man. Movies were so weird back then.
Whoa.
Yeah, that something that goofy could just sit there at number one for 2 months.
That is crazy pants.
Like, America spent 2 months just packing the theaters for Porky's. Did you ever see Porky's?
No, I didn't.
I don't think I've ever seen Porky's either. I've caught maybe a few minutes here and there on cable a million years ago, but I never, like, sat down and watched Porky's, and I don't think I ever will.
Same.
But, man, what a massive hit movie this was. It was one of the top 10 movies of the year. Probably the biggest, most successful of that kind of teen sex comedy genre that just ran through the 80s. But there you go. E.T. the Extraterrestrial is just a few weeks away at this point.
It wasn't E.T. time yet.
Yeah, we had Star Wars, we had Raiders, and now E.T. is just around the corner at this point. And we're really going to settle into just the 80s blockbuster movie era. But Porky's got in there just in time to somehow dominate the box office. If we look at music, I've got the top 10 songs from this week in 1982 when the Facts of Life backdoor pilot The Academy originally aired. And this is a fantastic top 10, Cornflake. Like, the 80s was seriously on by 1982.
Oh, do share.
Number 10, Key Largo from Bertie Higgins.
Oh, nice.
And I know we've talked some Bertie Higgins.
Yes, we have.
Here on the Flopcast. Number 9, Pac-Man Fever.
Ooh.
Yikes. Buckner and Garcia. Number 8 is Don't Talk to Strangers by Rick Springfield. 7 is Freeze Frame, Jay Giles Band. Number 6, here's a weird one. It's the Chariots of Fire instrumental theme song.
I loved that. I love, like, pretending to slow run across the living room every time I heard that song, like I was carrying a torch.
Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
No. How could that not be the most boring thing that ever happened? I'm just assuming super boring, you know?
I still love that song.
I'm more likely to watch Porky's than I am Chariots of Fire, but I'm not going to watch either one of them. Number 5 is Olivia Newton-John, Make a Move on Me. That's a fun one.
Yes.
Number 4, Stevie Wonder, That Girl. Number 3, Go-Go's, We Got the Beat. Come on. Number 2 is Journey, Open Arms. And number 1 is Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll.
That top 10 is not messing around.
This top 10 list is like a parody of a top 10 list of 80s hits.
That top 10 list is the reason why we had top 10 lists back in the day.
So there you go. Now, if we look at TV, because that's what we're here to talk about, is the Facts of Life. And I just pulled up the schedule for this night, this very night, March 31st, 1982. Some interesting things were on. The Greatest American Hero was on that night. I certainly would have been watching that. CBS has a weird one. Herbie the Love Bug, not the movie. There was a Herbie the Love Bug TV series.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we mentioned it, I think, last year. We were talking about Herbie. Going up against The Facts of Life on CBS, they were showing WKRP. He had to choose KRP or Facts of Life.
I don't know how I'd have picked between the two of those.
That's a tough one. After that, a couple of shows that are completely forgotten were on after that. There was a sitcom called Baker's Dozen, which starred Ron Silver. And then there was a detective show after that called Shannon, which I have no memory of at all. Now, over on NBC, before Facts of Life was Real People, which was a super goofy show, which I watched all the time. Although, in this case, I would not, because it's up against Greatest American Hero.
Oh, so, right.
Forget it, Real People.
Priorities.
There's a superhero over on ABC with a Joey Scarberry theme song, so I'm gone.
Believe it or not, I'll be watching Greatest American Hero.
That's right. So 9 o'clock, of course, is when we have the Facts of Life with this very episode. After Facts of Life was an episode of Love, Sydney.
Yes.
Classic with Tony Randall and that great theme song. And rounding out the evening on NBC was Quincy. I used to watch Quincy back then as well. That was Jack Klugman as a coroner, forensics guy for the Los Angeles police.
Now, was Quincy his name, or did that have something to do with Quincy, Massachusetts?
It was set in California, had nothing to do with Quincy, Massachusetts. Yeah, the guy's name was Quincy. They never revealed his first name. Quincy was his last name. They never said his first name. But it was great, because it was just Jack Klugman just being a hothead. He was just always furious, and then they'd have an autopsy. Oh, one other interesting thing I saw on this page is later that night, late night, Late Night with David Letterman was on, and with guest Andy Kaufman. I don't know if this is the famous episode where Andy and wrestler Jerry Lawler had a fight on the air. Not sure, but this was really early into David Letterman's run as well. I think Letterman had only been on the air for like 2 months at this point, but he had Andy Kaufman on the same night that we're talking about with the Facts of Life. So let's get into the Facts of Life, Cornflake.
Okay, let's do it.
Do you feel properly grounded this night in 1982?
Yeah, it's almost like I was there.
Yeah, I tried to really paint a picture for you.
I was there, but I would have been asleep by all of that.
All right, so it's the Academy. And obviously the premise is it's a boys' military school. So they thought, we've got this private school for girls, the Facts of Life. Let's do a boys' school and spin that off as another big hit show. That was the plan.
And I just want to say before we get into it that I would have totally watched that.
You would have been all in on this show had it gone to series.
You bet I would have.
Yes, yes. So we open the show at Eastland, at the regular setting for the Facts of Life, and there's all the girls hanging around. Phone rings, Blair takes the phone call, and it's a kid named Buzz calling from nearby Stone Academy.
And Blair points out that he is, and I quote, a baritone.
Yeah, it was a weird detail from Blair, but okay.
I'm imagining Blair answering the phone at Eastland Academy and just separating people into baritones, sopranos, altos, and basses.
Yeah, Blair's organizing a glee club just based on people calling the payphone at the school. What kind of name is Buzz? But do you know anybody named Buzz?
I feel like
that's a weird name.
People were only named Buzz in the 80s and not before and not after that. So I don't know after the 80s what happened to all the people named Buzz, save for what? Buzz Aldrin?
That's true. Yeah, there was a dude on the moon named Buzz. Good point. I forgot about Buzz Aldrin. The only other Buzz I can think of off the top of my head was on another 80s sitcom on Mama's Family. There was a kid named Buzz.
There is Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story, of course.
Yes, yes. Wow, you're really good at thinking of buzzes. Okay, this concludes our top 4.5 buzz list. Thank you. All right, so Buzz, it turns out, knows Joe, and he's calling Joe because there's a big dance coming up at the school, and he needs Joe to hook him and his friends up with dates.
Yeah, Joe's the person I would call for that.
Yeah, but he specifies, Joe, I don't want you. I want somebody, we need somebody classy.
Well, there's that, but they're also cousins, I mean.
So now Buzz is played by Jimmy Bayo.
Jimmy Bayo.
This was a kid that was in a lot of stuff in the late 70s, early 80s.
I had to look because that name sounded familiar. And it turns out there's a Chris Bayo in the band Vampire Weekend. And they are related. They're cousins, Jimmy Bayo and Chris Bayo.
Yeah, okay. I've heard of that band. Don't know them. They're good?
I like them a lot.
All right. Do they do sort of a southern goth punk kind of a thing?
I would call them indie rock, really.
Hmm. A little calypso blended in there, perhaps? A flamenco band? Is that how you describe them?
I would have said rumba.
They're sort of a hybrid, a blend. They've got a lot going on, and they're vampires. Well, anyway, here's his cousin, Jimmy Bayo. And Jimmy Bayo did a lot of stuff back then. And especially, I knew him from, well, Soap.
Right.
Remember Soap? The old sitcom Soap with Richard Mulligan and Katherine Hellman and Billy Crystal. Oh, Benson. Benson started on Soap. You know Robert Guillaume?
Oh, yes.
And he was the kid. There was one kid. It was an all-adult cast, this giant family, plus this kid, Billy. That was Jimmy Bayo. I also knew him back then from the second Bad News Bears movie. Bad News Bears Breaking Training, Jimmy Bayo was on the team.
Huh.
He was the pitcher because the original Bad News Bears, they had Tatum O'Neill, you know, Amanda.
Right, that's the name I know.
She did not show up for the sequel. And so they brought in Jimmy Bayo. I think we talked about him just last year, though, because we had that Teen Beat magazine we were flipping through.
And right.
I think there was a big calendar page about Jimmy Bayo, I believe.
Yes.
Well, here's Jimmy Bayo as Buzz. And yeah, Cousin Joe is going to pimp out all her friends to the dudes at Stone Academy. That's the plan. So we jump over to Stone Academy, where we see Jimmy and here's all the other kids at the school. I'm going to get all these names and actors mixed up because there's a bunch of them. But the other recognizable face for me is Alfred, the younger kid, that younger kind of nerdy kid, Alfred.
Oh, the one that ends up being the date of Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie's date for the big Stone Academy dance. That's John Navin. And this kid I used to see in everything in the early 80s. I didn't even know his name back then. Coincidentally, his first credit is the movie Taps. He did a couple of movies with Tom Cruise. One of them was Taps, which is set at a military academy.
That's an interesting parallel.
So that was his thing. He also did a movie with Tom called Losing It. Speaking of teen sex comedies, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Porky's. Yeah, Losing It was a little tamer, as I recall. But I saw this not long ago. I happened to stumble across this cinematic classic. But yeah, it was him and Tom Cruise and Jackie Earle Haley is in it, also from Bad News Bears. Coincidentally, Shelley Long was in this. That's a goofy little movie. Speaking of Shelley Long, I also happened to see a few months ago, I pulled up the very first episode of Cheers.
Really?
The first character, the first person to speak in the first episode of Cheers was John Navin.
Oh.
Like the cold open of the show, before the theme song even starts, is this kid walks into the bar and has a conversation with Ted Danson.
Weird.
Yeah. Then the following year, he made a sex comedy movie with Shelley Long.
Wow.
See that?
That's quite the career hop.
His biggest movie credit probably would be National Lampoon's Vacation, the original Chevy Chase vacation movie, when they visit their cousins. It's Randy Quaid, you know, as the wacky uncle, and his kids. It was Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock, and John Navin was Cousin Dale.
Oh.
That's something that a lot of people would recognize him from. He starred in a favorite, really stupid, goofy sitcom of mine, which I know we've discussed before, Jennifer Slept Here.
Yes, the ghost.
And Jillian as the hot ghost. This is the kid.
This is the kid.
From Jennifer Slept Here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. His family moves into this house that's haunted by Ann Jillian, and he's the only one that can see her.
So he's the kid.
That was his show, which lasted like half a season. couple more fun credits on John is Silver Spoons. I definitely remembered him from Silver Spoons because he played a character named Ox, who was a bully who was harassing Ricky Schroeder at school.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's funny because he's like the little nerd.
Yeah, I was going to say, after seeing him on that episode of, you know, Facts of Life, The Academy, it's really hard to imagine him being a bully, but I guess he is an actor with some range.
This was like same year. You know, he's the little nerd on Facts of Life. He's the tough kid on Silver Spoons, bothering poor little Ricky Schroeder. This was the episode where Ricky's father hires Mr. T to be Ricky's bodyguard to protect him from Ox. And Cornflake, here's where it gets even weirder. A couple years later, there was a TV movie called The Toughest Man in the World, starring Mr. T and John Navin. So they worked together on Silver Spoons, and then a couple years later, they made this goofy movie, which the mayor and I watched just a couple of years ago. Yeah, Mr. T, like he's running a youth center and mentoring young John Navin. So this kid was everywhere. I have no idea whatever happened to John Navin. His last credit is from 1993. And even poking around the internet, I can't find any mention of what he's even been doing since then. So he just kind of
slipped into obscurity. Yeah.
Yeah, just stepped out of public life. He's out there somewhere, hopefully doing well. Maybe he's just searching for the ghost of Angillian.
One could presume.
He wants to win her back.
It demands a sequel, Kevin.
So anyway, that's John Navin, who I was very happy to see. Chip. There was also a kid named Chip, played by David Rayner. This was Tootie's date for the big dance?
Yes, the one with the famous pop star mom.
Yes, yes. His mother is named Paula Nelson, who apparently in the world of Facts of Life is a super famous singer.
Not Tootie's favorite, though, as we come to discover.
Yeah, Tootie, not a fan. But as we know, Tootie only cares about Jermaine Jackson.
True.
That has been well established on the Facts of Life, that she's like the president of the Jermaine Jackson fan club. So she has no time for this fake pop star, Paula Nelson.
Who sounds like elevator music with lyrics.
Yeah, Tootie said it's elevator music, it's boring, it's square. This guy, David Rayner, has a handful of interesting credits. He was a regular on a show called James at 16 back in the 70s. This was a really good show, and it's kind of lost these days. I don't think it's really available anywhere, but it was a really good show. It was a set in Boston, and it was just about this like teenage kid in Boston, and David played a friend of his named Sly. Also, there was a cartoon in the early 80s called Space Stars, which was great. It was like a science fiction outer space anthology cartoon from Hanna-Barbera. There was a team called Teen Force, which was part of Space Stars, and he was the voice of one of the three members of Teen Force. He was Moleculad. He was in the pilot episode of Square Pegs. Although, weirdly, I think at least three of the kids at Stone Academy were also in Square Pegs, I noticed. So,
small world.
Yeah. Any show where you need high school age kids, you know, same pack of guys would show up, I guess. One more credit to mention from David Cornflake, for your purposes, Combat High.
Oh, yes.
He was Winston. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Okay. Just looking at some of the other actors in this, Ben Marley. The only thing I saw that was interesting from Ben Marley was, well, Square Pegs, of course, but also a movie from 1977 called The Chicken Chronicles.
There's a movie called The Chicken Chronicles?
Evidently. I was not aware of this until just now myself, Cornflake.
How did we not know this?
It starred Steve Guttenberg. The movie poster says, introducing Steve Guttenberg. So this is how the world met Steve Guttenberg.
Was through The Chicken Chronicles.
The Chicken Chronicles.
This is essentially a Chickens in the News, Kevin. You know that, right?
I think it is. The premise is, it says, a high school senior tries to score with Margaret. That's the whole description of the movie on IMDb. Wow. So there you go. It's Steve Guttenberg trying to hook up with Margaret. That's The Chicken Chronicles.
And that is Chickens in the News.
Yes. Yeah, let's officially say Chickens in the News. Why not? Right here in the middle of the Facts of Life. One of these other Stone Academy actors was named Jim West. I'm assuming this is not Weird Al's guitarist, Jim West.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a different one.
Probably a different Jim West. He was in Private School, with Phoebe Cates. Again, speaking of teen sex comedies of the early 80s, there's another one. And he was in Square Pegs, where he played Muffy's boyfriend. And Muffy, remember, was played by Jamie Gertz, who also played Boots on The Facts of Life.
That's right.
Everything is turning in on itself.
That always seems to happen when we talk Facts of Life.
Peter Frechette, I think he was the kid that kept clicking his heels and...
Oh, it was going to make Joe's fillings fall out.
Very annoying to Joe. Yeah, looks like he did a bunch of stuff, but nothing's really jumping out at me here. Oh, he's from Rhode Island. That's disturbing. And then the major, the adult who's in charge of all these stupid kids, was David Aykroyd. He's the Mrs. Garrett of Stone Academy, I guess.
Yes, he is. And he seems to really charm Mrs. G.
Oh, yeah. She was kind of falling for this this military dude. Man, ton of credits on this guy. Did a lot of cartoon voice stuff as well. And it looks like he was a regular on After MASH, the bizarre sequel series to MASH. All right, so there's your Stone Academy cast, Cornflake.
Oh, wow.
So diving back into the story, if you were going to hide a cigarette, would you put it in a rifle if you were staying at a military academy?
No, I don't think I would.
That's where Jimmy Baio hides his cigarettes, evidently. In the rifle. That was weird. I liked that the kid that he was setting Joe up with to be his date, he was trying to present Joe as, like, classy.
Yeah.
And he called her, what did he call her, like, Joanne or something? He used, like, her long full name.
Yeah. From the family of vodka makers, Polnicek Vodka.
From Polnicek Vodka. Then the other kids jumped in saying, yeah, she's Polish royalty. And then they said, and she's stacked.
Yeah. Can you imagine saying that in front of Joe's face? What kind of beating you would endure?
It was a lot to process all at once. Polnicek vodka, Polish royalty, stacked.
I wanted some Polnicek vodka after that.
I could use a little Polnicek vodka right now, but all I have is Polnicek coffee.
Next best thing.
But that's okay. How about when all the girls show up for the big dance? What were they wearing? Those giant pastel dresses?
These, like, most of them looked like Mother of the Bride dresses.
I mean, I get that, okay, it's 1982, so probably fashions look a little weird to us, to our modern eyeballs, but yikes.
Hey, Blair looked great, though.
Blair looked fantastic. Joe...
What was that dress?
It was weird seeing Joe's, like, bare, naked shoulders.
That was weird.
Yeah. That might have been the most flesh we ever saw on Joe in the entire history of the show.
That dress was so fluffy.
But even that wasn't too goofy compared to Tootie and Natalie. I mean, they looked like they were on the Lawrence Welk show.
They really did. Them's were some serious old lady dresses.
Yes, but, you know, fine. I liked at one point John Navin, Alfred, as the nerdy kid. We get, like, the end of a sentence. He's walking into the room with Natalie, and he's saying, "They're only found in Venezuela, and after they shed their skin, they eat their young."
He's a charmer, that one.
And that's it. So what in the world are they talking about? Evidently some kind of weird South American animal.
I bet he says that to all the girls.
That sheds its skin and then eats its young. What a day. I'm pretty sure he was describing a chicken. That's the only animal that fits that description.
Sounds about right. I was going to say, though, that Joe's entrance is classic.
Yes.
One of my all-time favorite moments in the history of the TV show Facts of Life is watching her walk under those swords and refer to them as meat cleavers.
Yeah, the guys all kind of form a line holding up swords. It was as the girls enter the dance. Very bizarre.
And they keep referring to it as a dance. Kevin, how many times did you see people dancing in this episode?
There was, you know, good point, zero dancing.
There's a lot of people standing around and some people even inviting one another to dance, but you don't hear any music and you don't see any of it.
That's an excellent point. I didn't even realize that.
I kept waiting through the episode and I'm like, yeah. Wait.
They probably wanted Debbie Allen to choreograph a big song and dance number, but she was busy making Fame. And so they said, all right, no dancing. So I guess what passes for a plot at this point is Jimmy Baio claims that he's going to be able to get Blair out in the parking lot, get in a car, and, you know.
Get smoochy.
Yeah. Makes a bet with the other kids or whatever. So they do. He gets Blair, shockingly agrees to go out to the car with him. And it's Mrs. Garrett's car they climb into. And apparently Mrs. Garrett drives a little tiny Volkswagen Beetle.
How did they all fit in that car to get over?
That's what I was thinking. Did they all drive over together, the five of them?
In those enormous poofy dresses?
Tootie's dress alone would not fit in that car. But when everybody, when all the adults, all the kids, they all go out to the parking lot, Blair and Jimmy Bay are in the car, and the major dude is worried about what's going on out there. And Mrs. Garrett, I like that she said, in my little Beetle, that's impossible.
By the way, out of all of the girls in the episode, even Blair looks great, but Mrs. Garrett in that purple dress with the flower tucked into her hair, I think she wins for best dressed.
I like that Mrs. Garrett even went to this thing. You know, it was weird that the girls brought their own chaperone with them.
Yeah, that is a little weird, isn't it?
But it was also nice, I suppose, for the poor Facts of Life fans suffering through this back in 1982, that at least the whole Facts of Life cast is there through the whole episode.
As opposed to the Brian and Sylvia episode.
Yeah, on our last episode of the Facts of Life about Tootie's aunt and MacGyver, and in many cases for these backdoor pilots, they just ditch the real cast at the beginning of the show, and then you watch the weird backdoor pilot cast all by themselves. So yeah, it was good that the Facts of Life girls, the whole crew was there, even Mrs. Garrett, through the whole thing. They got their kiss at the end, Jimmy and Blair.
With permission.
With permission, supervised by Mrs. Garrett and the entire U.S. military. Very, very strange. And that's the Academy.
Yes. Amazing how that didn't turn into a TV show all by itself.
This did not go to series. I picture the executives at NBC watching that night and thinking, huh. So we agreed to this, right? But anyway, that's what happened. That's what they got. The Academy. Cornflake, it sounds like you were rather pleased with this episode, however, so I'm curious to see how you're going to rate this, because now it's time to rank this backdoor pilot episode using our patented Tootie scale. So on a scale of 1 to 10 Tooties, how are you going to rank The Academy?
I'm a tough grader, Kevin. You know that about me.
Yeah, you have to be.
I award all 10 Tooties to this episode.
I'm shocked. I figured you were going to go high, but you're giving this 10 tooties. Wow.
I haven't played close to the vest on this. I ate this episode up, Kevin. I'm not sad that the Academy didn't get its own spin-off series, but I did enjoy this particular dalliance.
Okay. I'm afraid I'm going way lower than you.
Okay, well, not surprised about that either, but tell me, how many tooties do you award?
I think I have to hold this to, like, 5 tooties.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were going to go 3.
Yeah, all right, you know what? 6. I'll bump it up to 6, just because I'm such a fan of John Navin.
Now that's more like it, Kevin.
The Navin factor bumps them up by a full tootie.
I'd give 11 tooties if I could, now that I know that there's a character from Combat Academy, but 10 tooties.
You're going 10, I'm going 6, so that's a solid score. And there you go, that's the Facts of Life.
Whew.
And we got a long way to go, Cornflake. Over the course of the year, the Facts of Life shall continue. In fact, I'm going to reveal right now, because you're probably not aware of this, but the next Backdoor Pilot episode that we're going to cover was the very next episode of Facts of Life after this one.
There were back-to-back backs?
Back-to-back backs, yes. They tried another backdoor pilot a week later.
Right on the heels of that one. Wow.
Yes. So that'll be interesting, but that is for another time. You know what, Cornflake? I'm exhausted. Get us out of here.
It's time to stop. Please come visit us on the internet between shows at flopcast.net, on facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast is our handle there. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating and a review if you can. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Tootie describes the music of the Sponge Awareness Foundation as boring, square elevator music. And you know what? So do I. Cornflake, thanks for another fine Backs of Life edition of the Flopcast. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for your patience as we just obsess over obscure sitcoms of the early 80s yet again. And we're going to do something different, very different, next week, actually, maybe with a special guest.
Like when we have guests on the show.
I think we're going to have a special guest next week. It's not Tootie. It's not that good, but it'll be somebody good, I promise. Meanwhile, everybody be safe, be good, be careful. We're thinking of you. Hang in there. Remember, the Backs of Life are all about you, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
The 42 cast is turning 100, but like all good things, it must come to an end. Tune in to our epic finale as we see who lives, who dies, and who gets their own spinoff. And then come back when the 42 cast is back for season 2 with even more segments, more guests, and more of explaining why Ryan is wrong. It's why we're still the ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything. You can only find all this awesome by downloading the 42 cast, a proud member of the ESO Network.
Cornflake, this is the secret after show. What's going on?
Did you hear, Kevin, that Night Court is getting a sequel?
Classic 80s sitcom Night Court, also from NBC.
That's the one.
Just like the Facts of Life. No, I did not hear about this. Is this with the original cast members involved?
Well, John Larroquette is coming back.
Okay.
But Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is also going to be in this.
Oh, wow.
The only name, though, that I see from this so far that is somebody coming back is John Larroquette.
I thought you were going to say John Naven. Wouldn't that have been something?
Wouldn't that be something? He finally comes out of obscurity to appear on the sequel for Night Court.
This kid is in everything. You know, coincidentally, I just learned some weird Night Court trivia I was not aware of just a couple of days ago.
Tell me more.
A woman named Ellen Foley. Ellen was a singer. She sang with Meatloaf. It was Ellen doing the duet with Meatloaf of Paradise by the Dashboard Light, you know? What I did not know is that Ellen was also one of the stars of Night Court.
Oh!
This is pre-Marky Post. There were two other women that were in the cast before Marky Post, and Ellen was the second one. There was a woman that was on season one. Ellen was there season two, and then Marky came in the following season. But I had no idea that's the same girl that was singing with Meatloaf.
Now we know.
So is she going to be on the sequel series?
Let's hope.
She better be. Or else what are we doing? Now I'm angry.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.